Welcome to this week's message from Crosspoint Community Church. You can find us on the web at crosspointonline.org. There, you can find links to our social media accounts. Led by Pastor Mike Deese, we meet every Sunday at 11 a.m. in Roswell, Georgia. Now presenting this week's message.
Good morning. It's good to see everyone. I am so grateful and thankful to be with you guys today on May 17th, 2020. How amazing is that? Well, I'm loving seeing those faces and the worship. Some of you guys were getting into it. I was getting into it a little bit there. But anyway, I want to welcome everybody from our Zoom family and also our Facebook Live family. Just so glad that you're here and we are gathered to enjoy our fellowship together and to worship the Lord. I hope you've had a good week this week. I know that some of you may not have. You may have been a little bit like I was early in the week. Y'all saw me get sideways this week, didn't you? If you were on Facebook Live, I got a little bit sideways. But hey, after a while, we got it all straightened out. And that's good news. God always gives us second chances. We're grateful for that. So a lot of stuff going on in my world this past week. Got sideways. I got cut and burnt. They fried me up really good because of my old freckly skin. I went to the dermatologist. And so, I think everything's going to be fine there. But I know we got some great reports for some folks. John Turner, woo-hoo! Good. We just praise God. Charity, good report. We got a bunch of folks that are COVID free, that they don't have it. My wife is one, and just so many others. And we're just continuing to count on and trust in God's protection for so many folks. But and then there's just specific needs of Farah. Hope you're out there. We're loving on you. I know you've been eating good. You've had our food king, our food prince, bringing some food around to you. I know Cliff, you've been a busy man. So grateful for you. But anyway, want to welcome everybody. And I see that we got folks from Alabama to North Georgia, South Georgia, Washington State, got some real encouraging news from our friend Phil Hotup that we heard from a few weeks ago. He sent us an article from, their local paper, or I forgot, but it's in Washington, about how church is really growing while the buildings are empty and how faith matters. And I just want to encourage you as we come here to worship today. Our purpose is to come and to worship God, to acknowledge Him, to be reminded of His marvelous mercies as we come together. And as always, my prayer for you today and for me today is that we would know God better and that we would what? Love Him more. That as a result of our coming together today, that we would know God better and would love Him more. No matter what you've experienced this week, no matter what kind of week, there's a lot of stuff that's going on out there. There's a lot of division in what's going on out there and how to really assess this whole pandemic and how we should respond in this pandemic. There's a lot of division there. A lot of people are feeling torn. A lot of folks are feeling unsettled and confused and uncertain, just not knowing exactly what to do. But in the Psalm readings through this week, that standard, that Psalm 46, God just reminded me of this past week. No matter what you're experiencing, no matter what's going on, here's His promise. And the psalmist just exalts this. He says, God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way, though the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though the waters war and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging. we will not fear. Why? Because God is an ever-present help in a time of trouble. And the truth of the matter is, we still got troubles. We don't see an end to this pandemic. We don't see a vaccine. We can't be guaranteed that there will be. We've had great success in the past with vaccines, but there's still pandemics and diseases that we don't have a cure. We don't have a vaccine for. So it's all the more important for us to come together today and acknowledge that God is our refuge and strength. And I hope that you can say that today as we share together. So we're still focusing on what God's doing on Sundays. We're going to have some updates for you guys later as far as possible in-house physical meetings down the road a little bit. But I don't want you to get sidetracked. I want you to focus on what we are focusing on, what God's doing, and how we can join him during this time, what he wants us to experience, the changes that he is inviting us to make during this time. But we are being reminded every week that when it comes to experiencing God and what God wants to do in your life, what God wants to reveal to you, these are things that it's not something that we achieve. It's something that we receive. It's not something that we work for, but more often than not, it's something that we wait for. And we've been in a waiting mode. And God's saying, I want to reveal to you deeper still, who you are, my love for you, and my plans for your life. So let's go ahead and turn to scripture, because it's in this scripture that we see how we can experience and know God better and love him more. So true to form, Pastor Aaron, who, by the way, did not get sideways this last week on Facebook Live, he is going to be sharing for our Zoom family this passage from 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Did I scare you, Aaron? 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And it's here that the Apostle Paul is telling the people at Corinth, hey, guys, I'm not coming to you thinking I'm a know-it-all. I'm not coming to you because I'm so eloquent and all that kind of stuff. He says, I'm coming to you and I'm resolved to know nothing but Christ and him crucified. I'm coming to you confident of this, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And here's how he reminds us of God's goodness and how we experience that and how we receive it. So, Pastor Aaron, take it away. And the Facebook family, I'm going to share with you this morning. All right.
Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor Mike. Such an encouragement this morning. So good to see all of your faces. I just want to remind you that you are citizens of heaven and you all are beautiful and royalty. You are sons and daughters of the Most High God, a King who is an everlasting Father. So we're going to be reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 2. It says this: however, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. We have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths and spiritual words. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them, because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual man makes judgments about all things, but he himself is not subject to any man's judgment. For who has known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Thank you, Father, for your word. Join me in prayer. Lord, you are awesome. Father, what a privilege it is to have the Spirit of the living God residing on the inside of us. Thank you, Father, for your Spirit that leads us and guides us into all truth that is your word. Father, thank you that because of your Spirit, we can know you and we can know the things that you have freely given to us. God, we are grateful that by your Spirit, we have strength, life, hope, restoration, and a new life in you. Father, I am in awe of you and what you're doing in our midst. I pray that your Spirit today will encourage our hearts and encourage our minds in your truth, and that we will walk away today knowing whose we are and who we are because of your Spirit. We love you, Father. We pray all these things in the majesty of Jesus. We all say, amen.
Thank you, Pastor Aaron.
Yes, sir.
All right. All right. So if Pastor Aaron read the right scripture, I wasn't listening to him. I know he did. The very last verse says, but we have the mind of Christ. But we have, now saying all of this stuff, like God's got all this great stuff. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind, it can't even conceive, you know, what God has prepared for those of us that love him. Now, we love him only because he first loved us. Some amazing stuff. His marvelous mercies that Paul talks about in Romans 12. And he's saying, this is all revealed by the Spirit. And that's what we've been talking about the whole time. We don't just think it up with our own intellect and all that kind of stuff. It is revealed to us by God's Spirit. God is Spirit. And those who worship him how? In spirit and truth. And it says here that he reveals it to us by his Spirit through the mind of Christ that we have. We have the mind of Christ. What does that mean? I mean, think about that. What does that mean? I was thinking this week of all the expressions that we use when it comes to the mind. Like, I'm going to give you a piece of my mind, or never mind, or man, she's out of her mind. I'm looking at a few of you that I, never mind. Can you see who I'm looking at? I'm sorry. It slipped my mind. And I remember, here's one. I mean, there's all these uses, but here's one that I can remember my grandma, big mama, my daddy's mama always saying. She said, now, you better mind your mama and your daddy. You better mind your mama and your daddy. And I got to thinking, I knew what she was talking about. I got to thinking, what does that mean? You better mind your mama and daddy. Well, I figure I knew what she was talking about. She was talking about, you better pay attention to your mama and daddy so it'll go well with you, for you. Or, you better obey your mama and daddy so everything will go well with you. Boy, it's amazing, you know, when we think about this. But as we look at this particular passage and what Pastor Aaron read for us on Zoom and I read in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it says, but we have the mind of Christ. What that is saying is that if you, no matter where you are in your journey, if you've come to a place in your life, no matter how old you are, how young you are, and you've received Jesus Christ, you've acknowledged your need for Jesus Christ, you've accepted the good news that Jesus died for you, that you have the mind of Christ. And you're going, I really don't know when that transaction, I don't really know how all that kind of stuff works. Well, here's what it's saying. It's saying that you and I have the capacity, we have the faculties, we have the ability because of Christ in us to know God, not just about God. We have these faculties about us that we can really, really know him and experience him. We have all of this that we need in order to know his ways and to know his purposes. And that's the question that we're asking. What does God want us to know about his ways and his purposes during this pandemic? You know, it's not something that he calls, but we've been saying God is good and he redeems all that he allows. Now, last week, what we talked about is that if we're to experience God, and I'm pleading with all of us to not miss out on this opportunity that God has given us to know him better and to love him more and to join him in what he's doing. If we're going to know God and experience him and what he's doing, there's going to be some changes that we need to make. You know, there's going to be some adjustments that we need to make. And what we talked about last week is that starts in the mind. It starts right here in our mind. And what we were talking about last week is that first is that it starts in the mind by principle of our dedication. And in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, you know, that's what we spend our time on. Let me read for you again the Passion Translation paraphrase. It says, beloved friends, what should be our proper response to God's marvelous mercies? I encourage you to surrender yourselves to God to be his sacred living sacrifices and live in holiness experiencing all that delights his heart. For this becomes your genuine expression of worship. So first and foremost, it's saying it starts in the mind, and it starts by us making up our mind and making a choice. The first law of change for any of us is that I must make a choice. I must choose to cooperate with God. I must choose to do that. And we talked about two critical things in this passage last week. The first step, we can't jump over that. We've got to do this consecutively. It says, number one, surrender yourselves totally to God. And that's the question that we asked last week. And if you didn't do that, I'm going to ask you to go back, watch it on Facebook Live. It's recorded there, or I don't know, just or email me. It starts with surrender yourself totally to God. I asked him, Lord, what do you want me to surrender to you? And then number two, we talked about how that was encouraging us to depend on him daily. Surrender to him totally and then depend on him daily. That's the spiritual act of worship. That's living in holiness so that we can experience all that delights his heart. So today we're going on because we're looking at these principles or these truths for lasting change. It starts in the mind. It starts with a choice. And then today, it's really the principle of concentration from Romans 12, chapter 2. And that's what we're going to look at. In other words, what we need to be praying today is this: God, give me a mind that minds. Just kind of remember what my grandma, my big mama said: mind your mom and daddy. So now our prayer is this: God, give me a mind that minds you. Give me a mind that pays attention to you. Give me a mind that obeys you. And he begins to tell us how to do this here. So here's what he says in Romans 12, 2. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Boy, that's pretty powerful. A passage that most of us perhaps have memorized from this really classic verse in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So what this is helping us to understand is that in order for us to truly experience God, to know him better and love him more, and to join him in what he's doing, and to begin to understand and make sense of all that's going on, maybe even in your life and in the world, is we've got to stop thinking about what we don't want and start thinking about what we do want. We got to stop focusing on what's bad and start focusing on what's true and good. We got to stop focusing on my plan and start focusing on God's plan. We got to stop focusing on what everybody else wants of me and begin to focus on what God wants of me. So this is a powerful, powerful verse which says, do not conform. Let's break it down. Do not conform. For us to join God, experience him, he said, do not conform. What does that mean? Don't copy everybody else. Stop copying everybody else in this world. Stop copying. You know, the many of the things that we do, the way we dress, the way we look, the way we act, is from, well, just really copying the behaviors of other people. You know, it's looking out there. That's the reason advertisement is so powerful. We're so influenced by what others. He said, stop doing that. Stop doing that. Stop doing that when it's coming from the wrong source. But I like where he says, and a lot of the translations leave this out, but in the NIV it says, do not conform any longer, which means that, well, it's something that we're just in the habit of doing. You know, we've been in the habit of just following this pattern, whatever it may be. Don't do this any longer. And so when we do something for a long time, it becomes a habit. And those habits often becomes hurts and hangups and even addictions in our life. He says, don't continue in that addiction. Don't continue in that habit. And it says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. Now, really, I think the point is this, that everything that you and I've learned we've learned from a pattern or we've learned from a model. That's just how we learn. We learn, you know, how to get ready in the morning. It's a pattern. The way that you cook is from a pattern or model that you've had. It may be the way you load a dishwasher. You've learned from a pattern or a model that you've had, or the way you greet people. Some of you, you know, are very like, hello, you know, and some of big, come on, give me a big old hug. It's just habit. It's a pattern that you have. And you learn this so much from your environment. And what he's saying here, he says, do not conform any longer to the pattern, because here's the deal of the world. Because here's what he's saying. For some of us, the patterns that we've learned for so many things weren't very good. Maybe your pattern for dealing with conflict, it's just not God's pattern. It's not healthy. It's not good. Some of you retreat from it. Some of you attack, you know, whatever the case, it's just not good. Maybe your pattern for dealing with anger, it's not good. Or your pattern for eating, or your pattern for procrastination, just not good. There's so many patterns that we have in our life that he's saying, don't conform any longer to these patterns that you've developed, these habits that you've developed in your life. Don't let them lead you through life. And so this brings us to the second, and we've talked about this before, but this is the second law of change. If we're going to experience God, there's got to be changes. And to change, first, we've got to choose to change. And then secondly, the second law of change is I must change my model. Well, we've got to change our model in order for us to experience the change that God wants us. So I've got to experience, what it's saying is I've got to picture a new way of doing it. You know, I've got to stop conforming to the old habitual patterns and just what I'm used to doing, the way I'm accustomed to doing it, you know, the way that I thought I was supposed to do it. And I look to a new model. Stop looking to me as a model, like stop looking to the world as a model, and realize this, there's only one perfect model. There's only one perfect model. We know who that is, right? God sent him to earth, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that's the reason, you know, we see Jesus saying so often, over 20 times in the New Testament, he says, follow me. I'm a good pattern. Follow me. Even the Apostle Paul said 6 times, follow me as I follow Christ. This means that we're looking to him as our pattern, that as our model. So he says, do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world. That means we got to change our model. We got to look instead of what we're just comes naturally and look strategically and intentionally to Jesus. And he says, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be transformed. We're going to get to that. We talked about, you've probably all studied this, but what it's saying is, this word is metamorphosis. You know, it's what happens. And I've been seeing a lot of people posting on Facebook, you know, of the cocoon, you know, the caterpillar going in there and getting in the cocoon. And then they're watching the process and it comes out as a butterfly. And that's radical transformation. And that's what Jesus brings about in our life. He says, I don't want you to be conformed to this world. I want you to be transformed into my image. And therefore, the world will know. Then that's the reason we can say, like the psalmist in Psalm 67, Lord, bless me and be gracious to me. Make your face shine upon me. Bring it on, God. Why? Because what I'm doing, looking to you as my model, and the way I'm living and the way I'm behaving and what I value in life, well, that's going to allow people to know your ways. That's going to allow people on earth to experience your salvation. Why? Because we've been transformed. Whenever a caterpillar comes out of the cocoon, it's not a better version of the caterpillar. It's a whole new animal. There's a total transformation. That's some good stuff. So he says, be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. And you're going, okay, I've heard sermons on this all the time. Renewing of your mind. What does that really mean? You know, and you're going, I don't get all that. Steve, did you get that picture I sent you of the Dream Hill Hilton? Listen, I don't want y'all to start coveting, because I mean, just, I don't want you to covet. Did you get the Dream Hill Hilton? No. Okay, that's all right. So, well, a lot of you know that last couple of years, matter of fact, if it shows up, just pop it up there. The last couple of years have been going down to Grady, you know, obviously to see my daddy and stuff. And by the way, he's doing good. And I'm leaving today. Yeah, bring that. See the Dream Hill Hilton there? Now, that's for the Facebook folks. I'm sorry you cannot see this, but it's probably better that you don't, because you would be coveting, because you would want to abide in that place. But I've been going down to the Dream Hill Hilton. It's been there for quite a long time. And we've been transforming it. Mm-hmm. Show how. And I'm telling you, it was a mess on the inside. I mean, the carpet was yucky, and the cabinets and everything is sticky, and it was yucky and dubbed off, whatever. You know how that works. So what we've done is we gutted that sucker out. I mean, we have just been gutting it out. And if you were to drive by that and look at that, be careful about driving by, because it's about 300 yards inland. It's not on the road. So if you're driving by, you watch out. There might be some shotguns around. But if you were to drive by there and look at it, you'd be going, I ain't going in that. I don't want to go in that. There's rats. There ain't no snakes. There ain't no telling what's in there. Well, you're wrong. You're absolutely wrong. I'm pretty proud of what's going on, because it's got new floors, new cabinets, new walls. Tammy's done a paint job on the whole thing inside of it. Thank you, Tammy. I think most everybody would be willing. And there's a couple of y'all that stayed in it. You know, it's pretty good. Now, only thing I lack, we have not. The only thing that's not been renovated has been the bathrooms. Now, they're very, very functional, and we're going to get to it. On the inside, it is transformed. On the outside, looks same. Now, that's pretty much, and people ask me all the time, well, when are you going to get to the outside? And I told them, I said, I'm not doing anything to the outside. They're going, ooh, it's so, I said, that's my security system. You know, that's my security system. You know, people right by there say, they ain't nothing in there that I want. Wrong. Hey, this is what happens, you know, for us. Our old bodies don't change. This old outer shell, but he's saying, I want you to be transformed on the inside, on the inside. Look at this next verse from Ephesians chapter 4. By the way, if you want to go down there and stay whenever the restaurant opens, you can be our guest. And then don't worry about cleaning it up. I'll send Felicia down to clean it up for you. I'm just kidding. I'm really lying about that part. You can go down there, but she will not clean it up for you. All right, Ephesians 4. Let's bring that one up for our Zoom people. But listen to this, Facebook folks. It says, you were taught, this is what Paul saying to the church at Ephesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds. We need some new attitudes often. You know, they say attitudes is a lot like diapers. If you don't change them pretty often, they get to be really stinky. But it says to be made new in the attitude of your minds and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. This is who we are as followers of Christ. He's saying we're to be like God. We're to be like Jesus right here on earth, so that the world will know him and be drawn to him. Jesus be lifted up. I like the way the NLT puts that. It says, instead of the former way, it says, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. So all of this stuff is not something that we achieve. It's something that we receive as we position ourselves before him. It's not something we work for, but it's something that we wait for. By who? The Holy Spirit. Exactly. You know, everything that we have comes by the Holy Spirit. God speaks to us. God reveals to us always by the Holy Spirit. But it may be through his word. It may be through the church or another believer. It may be in a time of prayer, or it may be through circumstances. It may be through creation. Oh, there's so many times that God has spoken to me through his Spirit as I am awestruck by his creation. But it's always via his Spirit. And that's the passage that we read earlier out of 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Listen, it is all spiritually discerned. It's not something that in our faculties without the Spirit that we can really experience. It starts first and foremost by acknowledging that apart from Jesus, we can be and we can do nothing. So here's the point of this whole deal. As we're thinking about this subject, a mind that minds, a mind, God, give me a mind that pays attention to you, more attention to you than I am paying attention to the world, more attention to you than I'm paying to my old habits and my patterns of doing that. God, give me a mind that minds, that obeys you. And I cooperate with that by doing exactly what he's saying here. And what he's saying here, and really the point of this, and especially that verse in Ephesians chapter 4, he says, put off your old and put on the new. That's what we did with Dream Hill. In order for transformation to take place, we had to take out the old junk, get out the old carpet, get out the old cabinets, get out the old stove, the old refrigerator, get it out. And then put in the new. And this is what this is saying. In the renewal of our mind, we've got to put off before we can put on. We got to put off before we can put on. Or put it this way, you got to put it out before you can put in. Put off before we put on, put out before we can put in. And so I just want to encourage me and you in this. In order for us to experience God and what he is doing, you know, what he literally died to do so that we could experience, it starts right here in our mind and our acknowledgement of, well, be careful to mind your father. Be sure to mind your Abba Father. And so there's two questions I just want to challenge us as we prepare to close today that will position us to experience him, to know him better and to love him more. And here it is, number one. And I just want to challenge you to do this. Would you say, Abba Father, you know, God, I know that you're, I don't understand it all, but your will for me, according to your word, your will for me is good, pleasing, and perfect. Your will for me is good. It's pleasing and it's perfect. Abba, in light of your marvelous mercies, and here are the two questions. And please do not zoom out before you really come before the Lord and ask these things. Number one, Lord, what habits do you want me to change? Okay, right now in my life, what habits do you want me to change? What are you revealing to me by your Holy Spirit? Or maybe another way to put it is this. God, in light of your love, in the light of the fact that you are my refuge and strength, in light of the fact that I'm still unsettled, in light of the fact that I'm struggling right now, in light of the fact that I'm fearful, in light of the fact that there's anger in my life, in light of the fact that my family is fallen, in light of the fact that, Lord, what patterns are in my life that do not delight your heart? That was from last week. It says, experiencing all that delights his heart. Would you be honest? Are you willing to be courageous and honest enough to say, Lord, are there patterns in my life that do not delight you? See, sometimes we go, well, I don't know. I mean, no. Is there anything that you're doing that doesn't delight his heart? Maybe it's the way you talk to your spouse. maybe it's the way you look at money, and you trust money more than you do God. Is there any habit or pattern? Say, God, is there anything that doesn't delight you? And it may be just ignoring it. Maybe it's your morning routine. You just get up and you get going what you want to do. And God's going, oh, I just long for you. See, right now it's when he's wanting to develop new patterns and new habits in our life. And this is how change comes. And he's inviting me and you to do that. But the Holy Spirit must reveal that to you. Don't you come up. Don't you concoct in your natural mind what you want to do for God. Because remember, it's not achieved, it's received. It's not worked for, but it's waited on. Wait on him. I want to encourage you to do that. But here's the second question. Ask, hey, Abba Father, in light of your marvelous mercies, in light of the fact that you are my refuge and strength, you promise to never leave or forsake me, in light of the fact that you not only are my Savior, but you're my source of joy and happiness. You're my everything. In light of this, Lord, what do I want to put on, Lord? Because you got to put off and then put on. And he says, well, put on the new self. What is the new self? That's Jesus. That's the fruit of his Spirit. He said, I want you to put on love instead of just bitterness. I want you to put on joy instead of just being cranky all the time. You old cranky, you just got used to it. You say, well, that's just the way I am. Yeah, it is. And that's the reason Jesus came, to blow that up. Put on peace. Patience. Put on kindness. Goodness. My goodness, put on goodness. But here's the deal. And you can come up with some stuff, you know, but just saying, Lord, what do you want me to put on right now? And for some of you, there's a very specific garment that he wants to put you to put on right now, because what you're wearing right now is destroying you. What you're wearing right now is making other people sick. When they come into your Dream Hill Hilton, they want to throw up because it's grungy and it's nasty. And it's you, and it's just left unattended, and it's not been renewed and restored. I don't know. Ask him. He'll show you what he wants to put on you. But here's the way God formed it for me. And I was saying, Abba Father, instead of what do I want to put on, what do you want to put on me? Because, listen. It already said, your eyes have not seen, your ears have not heard, your mind can't even conceive what God has prepared for you as a child of his. And you're thinking, well, I need more of this. If I just had this, or if we had, no. God, Abba Father, what do you want to put on me? What do you want to put on me? Listen, this beautiful. Oh, this is Isaiah 61. Isaiah 61, listen to it now. And in just a minute, at the end of this, for our Zoom folks, Steve's going to put up this picture, but just hold off, Steve. Here it is. Psalm 61, here's this. The title is The Year of the Lord's Favor. And listen, this is the year of the Lord's favor. It says, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me. Hold on that, Stevers. Let's wait on a minute. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort those who mourn. Now, stick that up there. And here's what the Spirit of the Lord on us does. He says, and to provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. All right, so you know what that's saying right there? It says God is wanting to clothe you. God is wanting to bestow on you a crown of beauty, a crown of gladness. God's got a whole wardrobe that he wants to put on you. But first it starts with putting off. What we got to put off before we put on. So listen, I think that during these unprecedented days that God continues to encourage us, don't be weary in doing good. Don't give up. Don't jump back into old patterns and old habits. Please let me do in you that which will bring me glory, says the Lord. And just think about it. We haven't seen, we haven't even heard the best that is to come. It's not even entered our mind all that God is wanting to do in our lives, in our church, in our families, that which we can't even imagine. Some of you are dealing with such difficult situations, you can't even imagine the good things that God has got, what God is wanting to do. So my encouragement for me and you today is simply this. Just make that your prayer. Abba, Father, you're a good, good Father. I commit the mind that you've entrusted to me as your child. I commit that mind to you. And I want my mind to mind. And the only way that we can mind and obey and pay attention is by doing exactly what we're doing right now, is gather together and get under the teaching of Jesus, under his feet, look to his word. But it's not only on the weekends, but it's daily. I've experienced through this time and through these last few months that God has said, I need a lot more of your time, Mike. And I'm going, how much more? A lot more of your time. Because for me to put off, a lot that was there, it's taken quite a long time. So it's nothing. And I'm getting, oh, sorry about that, Facebook folks. I'm getting a lot of, not fussing at, but Felicia has invited me to sleep in a different room because I'm getting up so early in the morning, you know, and probably not only because of that, but other reasons. Listen, all I'm saying is God wants to give you a mind that minds. But that means it's going to be just being intentional. And I beg you to ask these questions so that we can experience what he has in mind for us. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that awesome? If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, he's offering that again today. He's inviting you to come and experience all that he has done for you. Forgiveness, joy, life. He wants to totally transform your life and renovate it. Follower of Jesus Christ, you may have been there you may be as old as that Dream Hill Hilton. You may be as old as that old trailer. But there's still hope. If you just submit yourself to him, he will transform you from the inside out. Let him do that for his glory and for your good. Would you pray with me? Jesus, we just come before you today. And we thank you that you're not giving up on us, that you're so persistent. We thank you for the opportunity that we have just to sit together, to join together. You say, when two or more gathered, that you're there. You're here because, well, you're spirit. And even though we're coming through virtual worship, you are actually here with us, and we praise you for that. God, today we just come and pray that you would give each of us the courage to be responsive to you. Lord, let it be said of all of us that we have a mind that minds our Abba Father for our good and your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's message from Crosspoint Community Church. You can find us on the web at crosspointonline.org. There, you'll find links to our social media accounts. We gather every Sunday at 11 a.m. in Roswell, Georgia. Tune in next week.